This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that more than 73.6, I had to get that right, because when I found that out from research, it's like, oh my gosh, 73.6 million Americans suffer from high blood pressure. And what that really is, it's one in every three adults. And the real fascinating thing that I found about high blood pressure is that one in three of every American adult who suffers from high blood pressure or hypertension are from the age of 20 and older. This is something that we have not seen before. Also, did you know that high blood pressure is not considered just a male disease or a male illness any longer, that it's one of the leading health problems for women today? Also, do you know that high blood pressure is really just a symptom of one or more underlying cardiovascular health issues, such as coronary heart disease, congestive heart failure, diabetes, disorders even with coagulation that can lead to stroke and hemorrhaging and heart attack? And also, we are now finding that high blood pressure is also linked to immunity disorders such as chronic inflammation, allergies, and fatigue. What a way to start a show. Well, thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and you've already got a sneak preview of what the topic is today. It's about high blood pressure, hypertension, and what I'm going to be doing today is sharing some of the hidden meanings behind that particular illness. This topic is actually a suggestion of a listener from Cincinnati, Ohio. He emailed me saying that he's taking high blood pressure medication, as his dad does and his grandfather does, and he'd like to know if there's anything else he can do to change this. Well, first of all, let me say that high blood pressure isn't necessarily a genetic predisposition passed on from one generation to another, that it can be caused by many, many factors such as diet, lifestyle. I mentioned obesity, stress. And what we're also finding is that vitamin D3 deficiency leading to calcium deficiency can also be a marker for propensity for high blood pressure. So I'm going to be talking about high blood pressure, a little bit more about what it is. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail as far as a general description. Most of us are familiar with what high blood pressure is. If not, there's plenty of information, certainly on WebMD and on MayoClinic.com. So there's a lot of things that we can learn about high blood pressure. But what I'm going to really be doing through the show is I'm going to be talking about the hidden psychological predispositions behind it, the things that really trigger the stress that can lead to high blood pressure. Now, since this was an actual suggestion from a listener, if you have a suggestion for a show that you would like me to cover, then what I encourage you to do is go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then just put the cursor over radio tab, and there will be a drop-down menu that will say radio show schedule. And you just click on that page, and there will be a suggestion area for you to submit for a radio show. If you don't want to go through all that, on my homepage, you will actually find a suggestion box. Just click on it and then send me a suggestion. I love really covering the topics of the listeners because it gives me a sense of what, as a medical intuitive, kind of what the overall interest is. I find that in high blood pressure, it was one of my suggestions that seemed to just keep popping up and popping up. But I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to cover a show. I love the research behind all the different illnesses. I love flexing my medical intuitive skills and abilities and my history that I have with being a medical intuitive and sharing different ways to look at things and then doing research on what can we do in the case of high blood pressure to manage it and even eliminate it. or to the point where we don't have to take medication, or to the point where we can nip the whole process in the bud before we even have to experience it. And there's always been a mindset, a myth per se, that the older we get, then we absolutely have to be on high blood pressure, because aging has one of the prime markers as we get older for why we're susceptible to high blood pressure. But we actually know that that is not the case, as long as the body is being well cared for, getting the sleep it needs, but most important, the activity that it needs. That goes a long way in really working with high blood pressure. So again, if you have a suggestion for a show, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then in addition to talking about today's topic, I'm going to be taking calls. So if you have a question for me about high blood pressure or about your health or about anything else, then I would love to share my intuitive and medical intuitive skills with you. You can call me at 877-230-3062. Of course, the number is good in U.S. and Canada. And then also it's good for international callers. So you can call, just dial your calling code, and then 877-230-3062. I'd also like to invite you to join me for a free telegathering that I have that's coming up on Thursday, January 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of the show is the telegathering is Unveiling the Soul, and the year 2013 is the year of the soul. So I'm going to kick the year off as far as talking about the soul and really looking at what is this veil that basically seems to separate us not only from our higher self, but that sense that we're separating ourself from our connection with the source or the universe or any perception that we have. So I'm going to be talking about the soul and what it is and how it functions. And I'm going to talk a little bit about soul retrieval and what it does and how it works. And then also working with different modalities to be able to become whole and complete. And then also I'll be ending the telegathering talking about what can we really do to care for the soul. It's much different than caring for the physical body. So it's a 1-hour free telegathering. It's a lot of the information I'm going to be sharing is going to be as a result of my near-death experience, when I was actually able to touch the other side and spend time there to be able to get a sense of who we are, why we're here, what is our purpose, where are we going, the questions that all of us ask. But I had the opportunity to really ask those questions when I was in light, and I want to share some of the information that I received as we kick off 2013, the year of the soul. Some of the topics I'm going to be talking about is what the soul is and is not, the anatomy of the soul, because it's important for our mind to be able to ground the physicality of the soul, even though it is not a thing. It is not truly physical. I'm going to share about that as well. But what is it in the physical body that we can touch, we can connect with, so we know that we aren't alone, that we are really something greater than our physicalness. Also, how the soul manifests itself and expresses itself, the soul's purpose. I'm going to give you a general idea. It's certainly not a personalized way of going in and saying, oh, by the way, this is your surface. It isn't a one-size-fits-all, but the essence of the soul, the real intentions of the soul, is all the same, even though we're each very individualized. And then also, again, how to care for the soul. So the telegathering is free. If you attend the live event, it can be accessed by phone, computer, and Skype. So if you want more information, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and click on the slide in the banner at the top of the homepage, the moving banner, and click on the slide, Unveiling the Soul. You'll find a register now, and then you can register, and I hope you can join me. I've just taken a great big leap from doing my telegatherings and my Your Health teleclasses via just the phone and bringing on the web and Skype, and oh my gosh, so exciting. I have over 500 people that are signed up now for this class. You have enough room, so don't panic about that because of the way that it can be accessed, but I would love to have you join me. So again, www.ritberger.com. The first thing is I want to also let you know that high blood pressure is also referred to as hypertension, and it's also referred to as a silent killer. And what the medical community does by looking at it that way is that we really don't have any symptomology associated with high blood pressure per se, because it's happening within the veins and the vessels and the arteries themselves. And it's done in such a slow, insidious way where these vessels start to lose their ability to flex and be elastic and be able to have the contraction and the expansion that's needed in order for the blood to move freely through the body. As we have lifestyles that does not favor health in that standpoint, and I'm going to say smoking is the number one thing, what it does is it causes those veins, vessels, and then also the arteries themselves to harden. And when they harden, then what happens is now we start getting pressure in those veins as the blood is trying to move from parts of the body to the heart and from the heart to the parts of the body. Let me begin by sharing that allopathic medicine actually determines high blood pressure by literally looking at blood pressure readings. And the numbers have changed from where they were even 10 years ago. And right now, anyone who has a blood pressure reading that consistently exceeds 120 over 80, then the way medicine looks at that is that it's time for someone to be medicate and go on medication. And what they do is they may take a wait and see, especially because when we get our blood pressure readings, we do tend to find in the doctor's office we're under more stress. There is a condition called, high blood pressure via the doctor visit. And so what they may do is they may take the blood pressure reading. It may be high. They may have you chat, sit there for a while, relax, become accustomed to the conversation and the surroundings, take it again. And what they'll do is based on that, then they'll either take a wait and see, having you take your blood pressure on a daily basis. But what we're finding is that if it consistently, the reading is consistently 140 over 90 or higher, then the recommendation is going to be that you're going to be put on high blood pressure medication. And a lot of people I work with have found that they really don't want to do medication, even if their readings are that high. And one of the things I always suggest is that, be open, be receptive, get the prescription from the doctor, from the blood pressure medication, take your blood pressure for 7 to 10 days consistently at the same time of the day. There is something that's very fascinating with the body is that if your bladder is full, your blood pressure is going to be up a couple of points, maybe as high as 5 points. So when you do your blood pressure reading, you will want to empty the bladder. That'll give you a real precise, consistent reading. Do it for 7 to 10 days. And if you do find that that blood pressure reading is running 140 over 90 or higher, then I am not anti-medicine and will also suggest that you get on blood pressure medication in addition to some of the alternative approaches that I'm going to be sharing in the second half of the show. So there are ways to be able to manage blood pressure other than medication. But again, if there's a consistency, then it needs to be looked at. My mother is 88 years old and has never been on blood pressure medication and had an occasion that she had to have some outpatient surgery done and has never tested it. And when they tested it, my mother's blood pressure was 248 over 205. I tell you, everybody, including myself, when it came to that, almost had our own heart attacks. And they said, oh my gosh, you should have been on blood pressure medication for a long time. And she said, oh, well, I didn't even know that I had a problem. She's on blood pressure medication. It's becoming very, very manageable. But again, that's why it's referred to as the silent killer from the standpoint that we don't even know that we have it going on. And this leads me to talk about that not everyone is going to have the symptoms that are associated with high blood pressure. And those symptoms can be anywhere from chronic tension or cluster headaches, chest pains or tightness in the chest, unexplainable fatigue, nosebleeds, tinnitus, ringing in the ears, dizziness, numbness and tingling, excessive perspiration, muscle cramps, weakness in the muscles, palpitations, frequent urination, which we also can tie to diabetes, blurred vision, and then also confusion and memory loss. So again, where we may not be aware that there actually is a problem that's going on in the body, we do have very predictable symptoms associated with high blood pressure, but not everyone is going to be experiencing those and expressing those the same way. One of the things that tends to go hand in hand with the stress component, the common denominator that is in behavioral changes and then also in hypertension, is levels of irritability and anger. Now, we all get angry, but people who have behavioral changes where they're in a constant state of restlessness and irritability and they tend to have more frequent outbursts of anger may be a psychological indicator that we have a blood pressure buildup that's going on. I always believe that it's really worthwhile for people to check their blood pressure on a normal basis. I had to think of the word there. And because really from 40 years old and on, you should be taking your blood pressure at least 2 to 3 times a week. When you get 60 and on, if you're not on medication, then what you should do is probably monitor your blood pressure on a daily basis. And for 20-year-olds, if you're very active in your life, engaged in sports and extreme sports in particular, it would be worthwhile for you to check your blood pressure at least once a week and not once a month. So then also the physical activity, the amount of stress. When you feel like you're under a lot of stress, both emotional distress and physical stress, then it might be a good idea for you to do your blood pressure readings. And what you'll want to do is get a good quality digital reading. You'll want to take the reading prior to starting your day. And again, you'll want to empty the bladder prior to it. Some of the common causes of high blood pressure are stress, excessive use of salt. Now, that's one of the things, if you travel a lot, you eat out a lot in restaurants, then what's going to happen is that you have a higher propensity for potentially getting high blood pressure. Also, high consumption of red meat. Red meat is very, very important to the physical body due to the B12, also to the protein, also to some of the fats that are linked with red meat. Of course, buy the leanest as possible for cholesterol, but what you want to do is, a lot of people who especially have been on some of these different diets, excuse me for kind of pointing out one, but it's the Atkins diet, is that diet is very, very heavy in red meat. Some people's body can really deal with that, but we do know that high consumptions of red meat can be a problem. Also, the lack of water. Now, I hear a lot of people say in my readings, I absolutely cannot stand the taste of water. And so there's things that you can do. It may be that it's the smell, it may be the taste, so you can look at a water purification process, but you can also put some sliced lemons, some sliced limes, they're good, and histamines. You can do sliced apples, you can do sliced cucumbers, you can do sliced oranges, things that will change the water that are natural, that are known as blood purifiers, high in antioxidants and also antihistamines. Very, very helpful. We also know that fiber deficiency can lead to high blood pressure. Poor sugar metabolism. This is insulin resistant, also called metabolic syndrome X. Both of those things are tied to the pancreas. They can be tied to obesity and tied to also diabetes. Thyroid imbalances can also lead to high blood pressure. If you are on thyroid medication, I encourage you to take your blood pressure, if not on a daily basis, but at least on a weekly basis, because one of the things is it can also be an indicator of the thyroid medication that you're taking may not be exactly the dosage you need. And when we have thyroid imbalances, we tend to have parathyroid imbalances, which can lead to calcium deficiency and can also lead to a deficiency in vitamin D3. According to a report of the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease, emotional upheaval can also drive up the blood pressure, as can emotions that cause our blood to boil. Number one is anger. If we have a tendency to hold anger inside, I encourage people to find a constructive way to let that anger out, whether it's journaling, whether it's going into the closet and, you know, screaming and letting it out. whether it's setting boundaries and finding a constructive way to express the things that anger you, whether it's working with a mental health care provider. But there are a lot of different ways, and I'm not really talking about anger management from the standpoint of suppressing it, but finding constructive ways in order to let that emotion of anger out. And please do know that we only experience anger when we are experiencing fear. Those two emotions that change the chemistry of the body are actually bosom buddies, and the end result is it raises the blood pressure. There's also emotions that we don't express that are being held inside, such as sadness, disappointment, guilt, and worry. These are the emotions that subconsciously we kind of are lying below the surface of our human psyche or our emotional threshold that are actually impacting the physical body. And the metaphor that I always use with high blood pressure is that these are the emotions that are hiding, that are creating that inner irritation, that inner anger, that resentment, that frustration, and that are also eating away at the life force of the body. They're silently causing us to be very irritated with ourselves. Some of the metaphors that I also find as a medical intuitive around high blood pressure are that a person feels like they're a cat on a hot tin roof, meaning that they're anxious, restless, and agitated. It's also, when it comes to that worry part, it feels like they're waiting for that next shoe to drop. They have a fear of the unknown, and they live with a low-grade constant anxiety around life, their relationships, their health, their own well-being. They are living, their life has a very hectic pace about it, where the way that they live that life in that hectic pace, it becomes almost addictive. So what they do is they get into the psychological pattern where they're feeling every single moment of their day, from the minute they get up to the time they go to bed, doing things that are urgent versus that are important. This is one of the things that we find with women in particular, as I find as a medical intuitive, is they see themselves as being superwoman, being able to manage job and kids and the activities of kids and keeping a household and food and shopping and all the things that are required. And they feel that if they don't live up to those self-directed expectations, somehow they've failed. And so they get into this silent cycle where it literally is creating such a hectic chaos within them. I also find that that leads to the propensity for high blood pressure. Also, I find when it comes to anger, they feel like a volcano waiting to erupt. They also tend to make mountains out of molehills. They're achievaholics, workaholics with unrealistic expectations of themselves. And one of the common things I find, both in male and female, is they have a difficult time expressing their emotional needs because they're afraid that they're going to appear to feel weak or appear to be looking weak, feeling weak, which affects the physical body. And what it does is there's a fear of being vulnerable. The other thing I find with a lot of the heart issues, the cardiovascular and the hardening of the arteries, is the person is very hard on themselves. So when we really look at the physical contributors and then we look at the emotional contributors, both of those different aspects can be dealt with either physically or emotionally, but the ideal situation for really managing blood pressure and eliminating it is really working on both of those situations and issues as they come up right immediately, and not saying, okay, I'm going to take care of my body tomorrow. I will exercise tomorrow. Or, you know, I'm just going to hold that inside. I'm going to wait until the right time. Or, you know what, it's not the right time and I'm going to hold it inside. All of those things can lead to the propensity for high blood pressure. All right, let me jump in. What I want to do is I want to take Matt from Utah. Hi, Matt. Matt's mom from Utah. Hi, Matt's mom.
Yeah, I had to call for him. He had to go to work.
That's okay, sweetie. I had to connect with Matt, and then I had to connect with mom to connect with Matt. So excuse me for going that direction, but it's the only way I could do it. So how can I help you, honey?
Well, he's just really concerned because he's had a lifetime of, you know, belching, feeling like he needs to throw up. He gets air in there. He thinks that his digestive system's deformed. He's getting concerned. His mom had an endoscopy, and she had me, had polyps in my stomach, and he's afraid that he's got the same thing or that he's got cancer, and his diet is not good. I can't get him to eat very well, or he's always hated vegetables, so his diet is really bad, but he's afraid that he's got something in his stomach that's deformed.
That is not true.
Okay, good.
And I'm really not supposed to do this, but I am going to do this.
Okay.
He also does not have stomach cancer.
Okay. I understand because you're not supposed to. But, yes, he's frightened. He's frightened.
Right. Well, absolutely he will. And the reason that he's frightened is because he's not getting the reprieves that he used to between the episodes that cause this stomach to be as agitated or as irritated. There are a couple of things that I do pick up that could. I pick up the hiatal sphincter, that really connects the stomach with the esophagus itself, is that I pick up that there's most likely a hiatal hernia. There's something that's causing that sphincter to not close completely. So what he's doing is the belching aspect of it is he's getting that breakdown of the food in his stomach into the chyme, which is a very active, gaseous type situation. And because that sphincter doesn't close completely, what he's getting is he's getting that kind of gaseous feedback that can lead to the belching. The other thing is it could lead to some of the GERD or some of the acid reflux that I pick up that he has. The other thing is that his stomach does not produce enough hydrochloric acid, betaine, or Pepsin. So in that particular case, you might look at things. Probiotics would certainly be helpful for him. He does have a tendency to get H. pylori. It's literally a bacterial buildup there. It's nothing that's dangerous, but it is something to be addressed.
Okay, now that is one thing that I didn't like when I went to my doctor. I asked him to take a biopsy for the H. pylori, and he said, to me, he said, oh, that's not a problem in this country. And I thought, what? Now, did have him have a blood test for H. pylori, but and it came up negative. But then they tell me, oh, that's not conclusive.
That's true. It is not. And the reason for that is that when we give the stomach what it needs, the proper hydrochloric acid, the betaine, the pepsin that's needed for the digestion, we give it the probiotics, we watch the foods that we eat, meaning the amount of sugar and fat associated with the foods. And I mean,
he loves meat. He loves fast food.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, he's a young man. I mean, what are we going to do? We can't make him 60 years old that suddenly is like, oh my gosh, I can't eat these things. So what we do is we try to manage and balance and food combine in a way that can help his stomach. And what we can do is the probiotics, digestive enzymes, papaya can be very, very helpful. And what we do is we just try to neutralize what's going on. The other thing is, sweetie, he's got a lactose sensitivity. Feels to me like it is literally borderline intolerant.
Yeah, that's interesting because we don't drink milk, but he eats ice cream.
Yep. So we've got that. So we've got a lot of things that are causing this. The other thing is because of the history and the everything is he experiences some of the things that he's experiencing now are associated with irritable bowel syndrome. And again, I share these things with you as a mom, not to scare the daylights out of you, but to say that these are a progressive process of where his digestive system has been. And you can look at IBS, you can look at the effects of H. pylori, you can look at the effects of, you know, not having enough hydrochloric acid. What that means is that the food that gets in his stomach isn't going to be macerated, broken down into the stomach chyme the way that it needs to. So
and
when
he eats the stuff that's hard to digest because he likes meat.
Absolutely. 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 Now,
if that valve doesn't close and we give him anything to help with the hydrochloric, then he's going to have more acid come up in his throat. That's what
I heard. Well, yes and no. But if we actually give him hydrochloric acid that is balanced with pepsin, which is a neutralizer, and betaine, which helps speed up the breaking down of the food itself, this hiatal sphincter issue isn't going to be an issue.
Oh.
Because what we think with GERD is that we think because we have reflux or that back up of that bile into our esophagus, that what we have is we have too much acid. In some people's cases, that may be the case, but when I find that, I'm dealing with peptic ulcers. Matt doesn't have an ulcer.
I see.
But what he has is that he has this sphincter that just, and it's from birth, sweetie. I mean, we can go back when he was doing formula and he was doing his first food and everything. He's always had a very touchy stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So it is.
Yeah, and I was required to give all the kids that I was tending milk, and by the end of the week he was sick, and so I finally just had to take him off of it.
Absolutely. So my sense is with what we're dealing with the hiatal sphincter is we're dealing with something that is just, it's always been there. It's just as we get older, the foods change. You know, we kind of leave mom from the standpoint that mom can't really manage everything and so forth. So we have dynamic changes happening all the time. But the most important thing that I can say to you is as a mom, you can look at IBS. You can look at colitis. He doesn't have it, but you can look at those things and look at the symptoms. First of all, it's going to help you in talking to him from the fact that he doesn't get so frightened that he won't go and deal with it or he thinks that he has cancer. And then what you do is you look at how do you help those things, and you just share.
Well, he'll listen to you. He won't listen to me. If he listens to this recording, he'll probably be, you know, but me, no.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that comes along with the territory, whether they're male or female. You know, it's the plight of the mom that, you know, all of a sudden we're the wisest person in the world, and then, OMG, I'm not sure what happened. So having said all that, but one of the things is Matt does need meat. His brain needs meat. He's a very active young man, but he's a very cerebral young man. So his brain needs meat. Mm-hmm. What it is we need to combine the food, since he's going to listen to this, we need to combine the food differently. So, Matt, if you're going to eat meat and you're going to eat fast food, which the meat isn't literally pure meat, the way that it's processed and put together isn't pure, you'd be better off ordering meat that is very pure. The next thing you're going to do is you want to lose the buns if you're going to have a hamburger. And the reason for that is it's difficult for the body to digest. It spikes the glycemic index. So what you want is you want something that is lettuce. You want tomato. You want something, if you're going to have French fries, you want to have a green salad that's associated with it. You want to be able to combine. If you want steak at night, you want to maybe change the sweet potato. You want lots of green, red, orange, yellow fruits and vegetables.
Yes, and he doesn't like vegetables, but.
Yeah. And again, it's a dilemma. But the night, you know, excuse me for saying it this way, but I'm going to say it as a medical intuitive. We do negotiate with the human body. We do believe that, you know, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I know I need to do this. I try one thing thinking everything should get better. But the thing is that Matt will get to a point, not where he's in danger, but mm-hmm. he's going to get to the point that this stomach thing is going to interfere with his life so much, he's not going to want it anymore, honey.
I see.
And at that point in time, he's going to step back and go, you know what, this is really impacting the quality of my life. And, you know, I may need to look at this from a nutritional standpoint. Now mom's going to become a very, very wise person again.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you can do is that you could work with him, you know, suggest that he just kind of read some nutritional books or looks at some things. He feels like he loves food from the standpoint, not just eating it, but actually he likes the whole kind of romanticism or the process of it. So it may be something that he would become interested in from kind of the health and well-being associated with it. So there's going to be change. And unfortunately for teenagers, sometimes it comes with, or in his case, it comes from becoming frightened. But those things are the body's way of saying, okay, this is good, but this isn't working. And if it isn't working.
He also, I think, puts his emotions in that area, too, because his mom's the same way. The digestive system is the problem for her as well.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is two things, is he's very sensitive and he's very cerebral. And he's always trying to balance what he thinks should be right with what feels right. So he's always kind of back and forth and back and forth.
I see.
He's very, very, feels very hard on himself. He's got wonderful expectations, sometimes unrealistic. I can relate to that. So, Matt, if you're listening, I'm there with you, guy. but there's things like that that you can look at. We don't have a major problem now, but we have enough symptomology that we don't want it to become a major problem in the future.
You know, meaning, what's going to happen? He'll go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to put him on an antacid.
Right.
Because that's what they did with me, but it started interfering with my, I was getting dementia, seriously. So now I'm just trying to take some soda, and, you know, I really couldn't function. I was starting to feel like I was losing it.
Absolutely. So in this particular case, there are some wonderful products. I would encourage you to find a good nutritionist that he could work with. You can work with different cookbooks, different things. Look at what you can do. There's products that basically are a combination of HCL, betaine, pepsin that is very, very good. You take those prior to eating a meal. They add that what the body is missing. The digestive system starts to heal. The problem starts to go away. So you might want to find maybe a chiropractor that does nutritional therapy, a nutritionist. You might want to look at a naturopath. They're very, very educated and skilled in this area. And that would be the way to go.
You had any results with mastic gum for the H. pylori? I found that on the internet.
I do. I find, and again, it's kind of individual, but I do find that it does tend, and I'm going to say it that way, to be a little bit politically correct, it does tend to neutralize the stomach and the environment of the stomach in a way where the H. pylori cannot be active and basically is removed and shed from the body.
I see.
So, again, do your research, offer these things. He's going to, if he listens to this, we're talking about, you know, the things that he can do.
We didn't know whether to get it because the blood test turned out to be, you know, negative. And so we thought, okay, that. And then my doctor said, well, if you're in this country, you probably don't have H. pylori. And I thought, I don't know if I want to take him to this doctor. Although this doctor's pretty good at the procedures. He did an endoscopy on me. But when he said that, I thought, why would you say that?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with that, and then I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, is, sweetie, follow your instincts.
Okay.
Get him to a nutritionist. Get him to a naturopath first. You're most comfortable with that. And, you know, you've got to deal with the where you are, because if you are concerned and you don't trust, he is going to be concerned and not trust. What good is this going to do?
Well, we can't find anybody better, but we are unsure about him.
Yeah. And the thing is that go talk to the doctor. Now, understand, you know, I've worked with doctors, and I've been in rooms with doctors, with people when they've asked me to go there, and they'll say, the doctor says, well, I'm going to give you this. And they say, well, I don't take pills. And I've got one doctor that works with and says, I prescribe pills. And they go, well, I don't take them. And then he says, well, then obviously we can't help each other.
Yeah, I see.
So, but I always say to people, if you don't trust the doctor, the pill won't work.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's one of the things to look at. Again, most important is that this is a problem that has been chronic, but there are no major health life-threatening issues he's dealing with.
His nutrition would be the thing to do.
That's where I would certainly start, and I would start working with someone with some probiotics and digestive enzymes. And, sweetie, you can start that with him as soon as he will kind of listen. So there you go. So, Matt, please listen to Mom. All right. Thank you very much, sweetie.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure spending time with you. You know what? I am going to jump into a quick commercial break, so please stay with me. I'm going to come back. I'm going to offer some other alternative therapies that can be used for high blood pressure. And I've got some callers, and I am going to try to get all of you on. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is the hidden meaning behind high blood pressure. It actually is a suggestion from a listener. So if you have a suggestion for me, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then submit your suggestion. I love doing shows around what you're interested in. What I'm going to be doing in this segment is I'm going to be talking a little bit about how we can manage and even eliminate high blood pressure using alternative therapies. In some cases, people honestly need to be on high blood pressure medication. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-doctor. But even if you are on high blood pressure medication, then what can also be done are these alternative therapies. If you are on high blood pressure medication, I always encourage someone to talk to a nutritionist, talk to a doctor, a naturopath, and make sure that some of the suggestions that I'm going to be offering are not going to be kind of counterproductive to what you're doing. For example, certain high blood pressure medication, beta blockers, then you'll need to avoid doing citrus, primarily grapefruit. So again, a little bit of knowledge on your part. I'm also want to invite you to learn more about high blood pressure from a different perspective of just the show. I actually did a Your Health teleclass on the subject, and I have available for purchase an audio download of the teleclass itself, and then also a printable PDF on my website, www.ritberger.com. Just again, go to the home page, put the cursor over teleclass tab. You'll see a drop-down menu. Click on downloads. And what you're going to do is you will find the download on high blood pressure. And again, both the excerpt from the teleclass itself, the audio of the teleclass itself, and the PDF, rich with information, gives you a holistic perspective of how we can address high blood pressure. I even have a try before you buy. You can listen to that little brief excerpt of the audio part of it and then read a page of the PDF. So once you do, you'll be go to that page of downloads, you're going to find that I have 29 different illnesses that I've actually looked at from a medical intuitive perspective, doing research not only on general description, but the psychological cause. How does it look like from our contributors? How does it look energetically? The chakra mapping for all of you who do energy work, for each of you that understand chakra, the role personality plays in it, and then also some diagnostic testing that can be done, and then pages and pages of alternative therapies. And this particular PDF itself is actually, I'm looking here, 29 pages of information. So again, I hope that you'll go to my website, www.ritberger.com, go to teleclass, downloads, and you'll find a variety of illnesses that I've looked at. That is on Reitberger, Reitberger.com. So I want to jump in. I've got a couple of calls. I'm going to try to get them on. So please, my callers, hang on. But one of the things that I want to do before the show gets kind of in that rush place, that it always seems to because it goes so quick, is that when we take the medication for high blood pressure, what it's really doing is it's really treating the symptom, but not necessarily eliminating the cause. And in order to do this, we've really got to eliminate the cause by looking at our lifestyle, looking at smoking and alcohol and the foods that we eat and the stress that we're under in our careers and all of the ways that we cope emotionally with the challenges that we have on a daily basis. And then also look at it from the standpoint of nutritionally. Then there's a remedy that's really that we're finding that's almost too good to be true, and that's drinking adequate amounts of water. And that means going beyond the recommended 6 to 8 glasses, and literally, and not all at one time, but literally 10 to 12 glasses of water a day. And the reason for this lots of water is because blood pressure medications actually mimic the effects of increased water intake. So we found that drinking water and drinking lots of water, 10 to 12, even 15 glasses a day, actually is almost like this medical cure, this magical cure medically, physically, that can actually decrease and minimize and eliminate the need for blood pressure medication. Eat potassium-rich foods or take a potassium supplement. High potassium foods also are high in fiber, which is also known to decrease blood pressure. Supplements include fish oil, vitamin C. Again, please, if certain beta blockers that are associated with high blood pressure medication, you need to be very sensitive to citric acid. Coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, garlic, calcium, magnesium, ginger, hawthorn, and even an 81 milligram of aspirin does not irritate the stomach, can be taken on a daily basis. The primary use of aspirin is that it quells the chronicness of inflammation in the physical body, which is also part of the inflammation that can lead to the breakdown of elasticity of the blood vessels itself, and then also can lead to heart disease. If you do have a tendency to burp fish oil, just put it in the freezer, the pill before you take it or the supplement before you take it, and then take it directly from the freezer. I'm not sure exactly what this does. This is a helpful hint from Dr. Andrew Weil, and it will stop the burping that comes along with taking fish oil. Even consider, we're finding having a glass of red wine a night for dinner. And what we're talking about is we're talking about 4 to 6 ounces, no more than 6 ounces, one glass of red wine. We found that the grape itself and the fermentation process can be very effective in dealing with high blood pressure. Eat an apple a day, keeps the doctor away, also helps high blood pressure. And then also music. Now we have to kind of look at the type of music. What it does is music is a relaxant. It helps us deal with the emotional distress that occurs from the challenges, and music is a wonderful tool for dealing with anger. You can keep a journal and write down your thoughts and feelings. Best thing we can do is take a walk, get those cobwebs out of our head, and everything looks different when we're out in nature. All right, so let me jump in. Cinda, sweet, thank you for hanging on. How can I help you?
Hi, girl. It's been so long talking to you, though.
It has. And I looked at the name and I thought, I know her.
Oh, my God. That's really wonderful that you do remember me. I want to tell you, you know, I'm 9 months pregnant now and everything is going great.
I am so excited for you. Every so often, you know, you'll kind of pop in. It's like, oh, my gosh, look at how big you're getting. Oh, my gosh, honey, you're quite large.
You've
got that beautiful little pregnant belly, don't you?
Pregnancy, I don't have any problems. But the main thing is I've been having difficulty selecting a name for the baby. Nothing feels right. You know, whatever I think, it's like, it doesn't suit her. But anyway.
Are you asking her?
I am, but I'm not sure. I'm not getting anything. I have a lot of different names, but nothing seems to be suitable, so maybe a letter or anything, you know.
Yeah, look at the names and look at the names, if how they're being driven. What is the motivation behind them? Are they names that you're absolutely in love with and you don't care what anybody else says? Because that she's going to resonate to that, because she's going to be one of these children that, you know, sweet, oh my God, sweet little soul. But it's like, no, I'm not going to do things your way. So as you're looking at the names, keep that in mind and say, okay, am I doing this because of culture? Am I doing it because it sounds right? Would it be easier for her to live with? And then just come up with some names, ask her about it, and then go from there. All right.
Okay.
So you do have a question, though.
Yeah, actually, it's my husband. You know, after the flu, mm-hmm. he had flu maybe around Christmas, mm-hmm. but right after the flu went away, he has been having side effects. You know, like slurry speech, and he has obviously he's weak, and little bit of balance problem in his walking. But that usually goes away after 2 or 3 weeks. This had happened like around 5 years back too, but when we went to the doctor, they said they might, the slurry speeches might be a problem, so he needs to get a CT scan. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if everything is all right, you know, I mean, he has to, you know,
right,
get
right.
the scan or, yeah.
I would encourage him to get the scan, and the reason for that is it'll eliminate the fear that he has.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing is that it feels like there's two things, is that some of this confusion that he feel I'm picking up, some of this kind of loss of balance that I'm picking up, when we find that there's nothing that's there, then what we probably need to do is we need to get him to an acupuncturist. We need to get him to a chiropractor. We need to also potentially craniosacral. We've got to somehow take this pressure off of the muscles, the pressure of the muscles off of the skull itself. And one of the things is it feels like when he gets under a lot of stress or the way that he sleeps is that his kind of his brain doesn't seat in the brain bowl, the skull, the way that it needs to. And it causes this tension. And I think the tension's causing this kind of imbalance of the way the brain seats itself. My sense is we're not going to find anything wrong. We just need to get that brain to drop into the skull the way it needs, take the pressure off the muscles, off of the eyes, off of the ears, off the cranial nerves, off of the spine, and we're going to see a big difference in him.
Okay, and also he is borderline, you know, he has a high blood pressure. He doesn't have it, but every time we get checked, it's in the borderline, and he gets angry all the time. You know,
right.
Whatever the symptoms you told, he has it.
But right, right. Right, and one of the things is that, very honestly, I would be a little more active. He does in this particular case, so all of you that are listening know that I'm not anti-medicine. It would be worthwhile for him to get on the first stage of blood pressure management, which is most likely a diuretic.
Okay.
And, you know, he doesn't feel like he needs to go into the big heavy guns, but it would be worthwhile because of the stress levels that he's under, and he really holds things inside.
Yes, that's certainly true.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not picking up any danger signals of anything. The CT scan, I think one of the things we have an insidious process going on, sweetie, is that it's the fear that there may be something wrong that's causing the blood pressure to increase, that's putting the pressure on the nerves, the muscles, that's putting pressure on the nerves, that's causing his muscles to get tight, his spine to change. So I think we have this fear that's inside of him that something's really wrong, and we need to get that cleared up to the point where it's like, okay, let's just get on with life.
Okay, yeah, okay, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, well, golly, so... when is she due? Give me kind of the month.
February, first week of February, actually, 6th or 7th.
Yep, she's an Aquarian baby. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, everything is all right with the baby and me, right? I mean,
yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things is that, you know, don't feel the pressure that you have to name her completely before, because get some names that you really, 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 really like. Don't worry about anybody else. And I'm going to tell you, when you look in the eyes of this child, she is going to tell you what her name is.
Oh, well, okay.
She will
I can
tell
wait.
You. Yeah, she's really quite a precocious, fun little girl, but she's going to be, she's not going to be always, you know, it's like, well, you said to do this. I don't know if I really want to.
Okay, yeah. You
can you relate to that, sweetie? Were you that way? I think so.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Light and love to you. Thank you very, very much for calling me, and I will be with you energetically. Let's jump on. Let's see.
Thank
I don't
you,
know. You are most welcome, my love. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze. Do I have enough time to put Sharon on? Hi, sweet. I've got a couple minutes. If you're willing to do it with me, so am I. Are you there, Sharon?
Can you hear me?
I can, honey. We've only got a couple minutes. Can we do this kind of quick? I really would like
to
be able to do this.
I think we can. You know,
perfect.
Carol, I've had chronic fatigue. I'm doing better. A friend of mine was going to start a clinic and wanted me to do some lymph treatments there. I have a lymph machine, and it seems like he's kind of taken over, and I'm wondering if I should just kind of go in a different direction. There is a spa that asked me to come. Do you see anything in regard to me working in that area?
Actually, in the spa area, I do. The clinic area, I do as well, sweetie. The one thing is that there's a power struggle very deep within you with this one person. I don't know if this person's getting kind of frightened about money or about something, but there is a power struggle. It's very, very real. You're not feeling as comfortable. So what I would encourage you to do is go to the spa and then go back and revisit the clinic.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And from the lymph standpoint, sweetie, what you do is lymphatic massage would be very, very good for you. Massage would be very good for you.
Okay, you mean personally or doing
yes.
it?
Personally and doing it. You are an extremely wonderful, beautiful, sensitive human being who takes on a lot of energy that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah. Okay.
And massage would be great. It
makes
you feel
okay.
just good.
And, you know, I have a machine that clears the lymph, too. I mean, do you
Perfect.
Think that will take off for a treatment?
Absolutely. You know what, my love? Do it for yourself. I've got to run. Light and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.